You may be seated, please. God bless, and please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. And you gentlemen seated here behind me and on both sides, why are you not excused while I teach? Okay, goodbye. I'm not going to do the rest of you. Well, God bless on this, the Tuesday, July the 27th, 1982. You parents, you relatives, sponsors of the Corps, distinguished guests, and the 10th Way Corps. It's a wonderful joy and a privilege for me to address you this evening, and perhaps in the most singular and significant moment in the history of my life, because as you were told, this is the last official graduation that I will be able to do as president of the Way International. The Way is a biblical research, biblical teaching, and a biblical fellowship ministry. The number 10, you're the 10th Way Corps, and the number 10 is the great cardinal number indicating the completion of one order and the commencing of a new order. It is ordinal perfection, meaning that there is nothing wanting. There are only mathematically four perfect numbers: the number 3, the number 7, the number 10, and the number 12. 3 is divine perfection. 7 is spiritual perfection. 10 is ordinal perfection. And 12 is governmental perfection. You are the 10th Way Corps. And tonight, I'd like to address you on the subject of the heart of a Way Corps athlete. You know, an athlete is one who has been trained for physical and mental confrontation in a particular sport. A Way Corps grad is one who has been trained for physical, mental, and spiritual confrontation in the arena of life. One who is an athlete in any sport has become an athlete by choice, by the free will of his decision. A Way Corps athlete has become one by choice, by free will decision. Now, an athlete of gold medal quality receives training, number one, according to the rule book of his particular sport. As Craig told you, he showed you this statuette of the coach showing the rule book to the little player. Every athlete in any sport is trained, number one, according to the rule book of that particular sport. This happens to be baseball. Number two, as a gold medal quality athlete, he is trained by the experts in his sport. And in the third place, from his experiences in competition and in participation. The same is true for the weight court. His rule book is the Bible, the Scriptures. Number two, he's trained by men and women of spiritual quality. And number three, he garners great learning from experiences and participation in the arena competing in life's highest game. Now, if an athlete rejects the rule book, if he rejects the coaches or the training experiences, he is no longer equipped to compete. He has had freedom of choice, but he has dismissed himself from further competition. And his level of proficiency no longer warrants his active participation. Likewise, if an athlete of the spirit people, in the weight court, for instance, rejects the rule book, the Scriptures, the Word of God, or the coaches or the training experiences, he is no longer equipped to compete as a gold medalist. He's had the freedom of choice, but he dismissed himself from competition due to his level of proficiency. Now, all athletes choose where to participate, where to compete. But to compete for the highest prize, the gold medal, they must go to the location, to the city where that prize is offered. A weight court grad is absolutely free to go wherever he chooses. But that weight court grad, in my mind, is a fool if he or she would select a location where the competition wouldn't challenge his capable and developed abilities. Athletes in any sport, as well as athletes of the spirit, they grow when they are challenged with increasingly more and more difficult competition. As athletes of the spirit, we must not only rightly divide the word, we must remember that it's the word that divides us. It is the critic. The word is the critic for our lives. The word is the rule book. It's the critic for our walk and our talk. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, we read, "For the word of God is what? Quick." The word of God is quick, and the word quick is living. The word of God is quick, living. As long as you're living, you're quick. When you die, you aren't so quick. This is this word living. The word of God. Now remember, the word of God. Not what people may say about it, not what I think or you think or somebody else may think, but what is the word of God? If you got that word of God, people, that word of God is what? Living. It's quick. It's living. And secondly, it is what? Powerful. Powerful. The word powerful is the word energetic. It has energy in it. Energy. It's powerful. It's not only living, but it has energy in it. Power. All you have to do then to make it manifest is to release that energy. When they release the energy in an atom, for instance, it's powerful. The Word of God is living and it's energetic. And the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword is in the King James. The original is javelin. Sharper than any two-edged javelin. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The word spirit there is the spirit of man, which is life. Soul and life, and of the joints and what? Marrow. Even to this day, 1982, the highest of the high in the surgery field of medicine cannot divide joints from marrow. With all of our ability, it still cannot be done. And yet the record here in Hebrews is that the Word of God can do that, and the Word of God does it. It's sharper. It does it, even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow, and is a discerner. Now that word discerner is the Greek word kritikos, which is spelled K-R-I-T-I-K-O-S. K-R-I-T-I-K-O-S. Transliterated into our English word, C-R-I-T-I-C. Critic. See? It's the Word of God that is the critic. It's the critic of the thoughts and the intents of what? The heart. And the word heart here is the seat of life. It's the mind. The very innermost part of you. What are you really thinking? It's the Word of God that's the critic of the thoughts and intents of a man's innermost being, his heart, his mind. Man never stands and judges the word, people. The word judges the stand of every man. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, look at this verse, chapter 7. Well, we start with verse 40 in here. John 7, 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying regarding what Jesus said, said of a truth, this is what? The prophet. All others said, this is who? But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Nothing good ever comes out of Galilee. Verse 42. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, not of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of what? Because of Jesus Christ. People, Jesus Christ is the dividing line. There was a division among the people because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the dividing line. When you tell me what you believe regarding Jesus Christ, then I know who you really are spiritually. He is the dividing line, Jesus Christ. There was a division among the people because of what? Him, Jesus Christ. You see, the seeds of contention and strife are introduced by ecclesiastical terminology, such as creeds, articles of confession, Trinity, and the like. And that is why there's a division among the people because of him. Everything, people, must be judged in the light of the word, rightly divided, to have the true word. 2 Timothy 2:15 states that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto whom? God. You don't study to show yourself approved unto me, or your grandma, or to your religious organization, or your sorority, or fraternity, or Anything else you study to show yourself approved unto whom? God. As workmen. Workmen of the rule book. Workmen of the word. That you need not be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15 says. That you need not be ashamed of your workmanship by doing one thing. Rightly dividing the word of what? The scriptures are the word of truth, people. But you will only have the true word in the proportion and to the extent that it's rightly divided. Wherever it's wrongly divided, you're going to have error. Everything we do has to be judged. Every thought we have has to be judged in the light of the word of God that is man's critic. No man is the critic of the word. The word is the critic of every man. And to the end we rightly divide the word of truth, we'll have the true word. To the end we wrongly divide it, we're going to have error. And it's every man's responsibility, every woman before God, to study, to show himself or herself approved unto God as a workman of the word, rightly dividing that word of truth. That's the heart of a weight core athlete. It should be the heart of every Christian in the world. That's why in the weight core, wherever we work with our people in the core, we give them the evidence of Scripture. We give it to them in the words of Scripture using scriptural terminology. There's a record in Proverbs chapter 3. All of my core kids know this one from memory, I'm sure. 3:6. Proverbs 3:6. The scriptures declare, in all thy what? Ways acknowledge what? Yes. Right. In all thy ways acknowledge him, God. All thy ways. Not just one way or whichever way you like, but in every way, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, God. Put God first. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy what? Right. It's an interesting thing that word direct in the original text is rightly divide. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall rightly divide thy paths or thy ways. Isn't that wonderful? You see, people, a true knowledge of God is obtained not by reason, but by revelation. Not by acuteness of the human mind, but by believing the revealed word of God. The human mind has tremendous limits when it comes to intellectual powers and ability. Because the human mind is limited to the information that it sends up there via the five senses. By what it sees, hears, smells, tastes, and touches. Things of the senses world, people, things in the natural realm can only be known via the five senses. There is no other way for the intellectual man by reason to get any facts except via the five senses. By what he sees, by what he hears, by what he smells, tastes, or touches. All the information that ever comes to the human mind from the senses world comes via one or the other or a combination of those five senses. Now the things of the senses world can be known by the five senses. But how are you going to know things of the spirit world? How can you take a test tube into your laboratory and fill it full of love, put it on a Bunsen burner, and come out with hot love? The greatest realities in life are never touched by the senses man, their spirit. Life, love, all of those. See, things of the senses world, people, can be known by what? But things of the spirit world must be known spiritually. And you can't know things spiritually until you got spirit. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man, that's the man of body and soul, with his sense knowledge, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness unto him. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. One verse of scripture. Man is beautiful. The natural man knoweth not the things of the Spirit of God. Because in order to know the things of the Spirit of God, you have to have what? Spirit. In order to play baseball, you gotta have a ball. I guess. In order to play in God's league, you gotta have spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Foolishness. You talk to the natural man about signs, miracles, and wonders, prayer being answered. Even talk to the natural man about spending 4 years, an apprentice year or whatever it is, then a year in residence, then an interim year on the field, then a final year in residence in a way corps. To the natural man, that's what? Foolishness. He'd say, oh man, why don't you go out to the University of Timbuktu and get yourself a PhD in that period of time? Then you could go out and make a lot of money. Some of the people I've known made a lot of money have been the most miserable. They commit lots of suicides and a lot of other. The Word of God says that He's never going to forsake us. He'll supply all of our need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We need some men and women today who stand for God and the truth of God and the greatness of His Word. Not only in our country, but you need it in your countries that are represented here in the Corps. And all the other 160-some countries around the world need the Word of God that the Way Corps is taught, people. This scripture, the Word of God, people, is as much God as God is God. But it is never, this is never all God is. God is infinite. His words that are written here are finite. But for God to reveal Himself, God who is spirit, God has no hands, He has no form. God is spirit. John 4:24. God is spirit. For God, who is spirit, to reveal Himself in writing, had to condescend to man's level using words to communicate to man that man could understand. That's why, people, God's word is God's will. God's word is God's will, people. You can never know the will of God without knowing the Word. No more so than you can know the football rule book without reading the rule book. Or the baseball rule book without reading the baseball rule book. And most people have never really read the rule book. They go by tradition or what they learned in catechism or some. They have not read it themselves. And boy, sooner or later, you gotta grow to be a man or a woman who doesn't need to be bottled. You gotta be able to eat your own food. Gotta be able to work it yourself, read it. And that's been my ministry in my life for almost 40 years now, teaching people how to read it themselves so they can play in the gold medal league. That's Way Corps. Way Corps, trained to work the Word so they can read it, understand it, and then teach it to somebody else. That is why it says in Psalm 138, verse 2, it says that of all of God's works, And the works of God are infinite, fantastic. I understand there's a possibility we found another one of these, what do you call those big stars out of place, way out there in space or something. Another one. Planet. That they've now believed they've found another planet. Well, bless the Lord, they just got a little bigger telescope or whatever they got. See? When they get all through finding that, the creation of God out there is not over with yet. You know, I stand in amazement of the Northern Lights. I stand in amazement of, oh, the Milky Way. Sometime I wish I had a bar, but I stand in utter amazement how the stars, the planet, all of that which God formed, made, and created, it runs right on time. It's never 1 second late or 1 second fast. The reason I don't wear a watch, can't ever trust this stupid thing. But the stars are so accurate. People, I didn't write the book. I'm not God. I didn't create any of that stuff. All I do is read the rule book and believe what the rule book says. It says in Psalm 138 verse 2 that God magnified His rule book, His word. He magnified His word above all His name. That means that of all the works of God, here is a work of God, the scriptures, a work of God, that of all of God's works, people, the greatest of God's works is His word. And most of the people know more about astronomy, biology, chemistry, all the other things than they've ever known about the Word. Because nobody has gone back to working the Word. That's WACOR. That's our ministry. Working the Word and then teaching it to people who want to know it. And if they don't want to know it, we love them anyways. That's right. It's the Word, the Word, the Word, people. Oh my, look at Philippians 3. Just flip to Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians. Chapter 3. Boy, look at verse 10, people. That I may what? Know Him. That I may know Him. That is God through Jesus Christ. That I may know Him. Jesus Christ and the power of His, what? Resurrection. The power of His resurrection. You see, the full knowledge of God is revealed and found only in Jesus Christ. Nothing can take the place of the written word. It's the rule book. It's the Word of God, and the Word of God's the will of God, people. What a travesty of stupidity. Unbelievers through the years have been exhorted to do. Save your soul, brother. Get right with God. Saw one of those on a barn the other day. Used to have mail pouch on it. Now it's getting right with God. I think mail pouch maybe did it better. I'm not sure. But get right with God. Another one. Repent of your sins. And so forth and so forth. And what a travesty of stupidity that is. Because God Almighty through Jesus Christ took salvation entirely out of the hands of man. And put it totally into the will and the work of God through Jesus Christ. It is not of man's works that man should boast. But it is by God's grace and by His mercy. In the epistle of 1 John, almost way, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, then you run to Jude, and finally out of the book. 1 John, chapter 5, take a look at this. The epistle of 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. 1 John chapter 5, and this, verse 11, is the record that God hath given to us what? eternal life. And this eternal life that he's given to us is in his blood. Is that what it says? That's what it means. It's a rule book. Look. The rule book. Baseball. Rule book. He's showing it to him. The scriptures are the believers, the Christian's rule book. If you want to know the will of God, ma'am, you got to go to the Word. Sir, if you want to know God's will, you got to go to the Scriptures. This is the record that God hath given to us. What? Then I didn't earn it. He did what? He gave it to me. Well, bless God, if God gave it to me, then have I got it? And why don't I act like it? For we have what the Word of God says we have. We are what the Word of God says we are. And we'll be what the Word of God says we'll be. For it's the Word of God that's the will of God, not man. Man's not the critic of the Word. The Word is the critic of every man. Where do you stand on the Word? Don't quote me your creeds and all that other stuff. Read it to me from the Word. I like you, but boy, this is the Word, people. Guess I got to work so hard because last time I'm going to get the privilege of doing this. You know, you're graduating tonight. I don't get to graduate till October the 3rd. Then I can go on the field. Shoot. Hey, he's given to us eternal what? Then if he's given it to us, have I got it? That's my possession then. Yeah. Try it. Found it under there. Look. I gave them a pencil. Have I got it? They got it. That you understand, right? This is no more difficult except that your mind stops you from believing God and his word, but you would believe me throwing a pencil at my kids. Hey, people, I'm not God. God's a whoo, bigger than I am by far. And it says he has given to us eternal life, and that this life that he's given to us is in his own son. Then if he's given it to us, have I got it? You bet your life I got it. You don't like it, I don't care. God said I got it, that settles it. What the neighbors think is not important. What any other religious group, I don't care what they think. I want to think what the Word says I'm supposed to think. That's where I stand. That's what I've done for over 40 years. You can't change an old dog tonight. Ah, you're wonderful. I've got it. That's my possession. I've got eternal life. That's right. You know, go back to chapter 1 here in 1 John. You'll like this. It's in the Word. Anybody likes the Word likes it. In verse 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be what? Right. Not only has God given me eternal life, but he has written these things and made them available that my joy might be what? That's my enjoyment. I have the possession. My enjoyment is that it's full. So I not only have a possession, eternal life, but I have the enjoyment of it to the full, and I have the hope of Christ's return, Revelation 22:20. That tremendous verse of scripture in there. Listen to it. 22. And he which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Then even so come, Lord Jesus. 22:20. Our possession is eternal life. Our enjoyment is the joy to the full, and our hope is, so come quickly, Lord Jesus. And people, all of this was wrought for us by God the Father. It was brought to us by God the Father's Son. And it was worked in us by God the Father's gift. Wrought for us by God the Father, Cor. Brought to us by God the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. Worked in us by the Father's gift of Holy Spirit, which is God in Christ, in you, the hope of glory. That's why in Isaiah, the scripture declares in chapter 30, verse 21, this is the way, walk ye in it. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the what? Way. I am the way. Furthermore, he said in John 14, 6, no one cometh unto the Father except by what? Me. But by me. I didn't write the book, but I believe it. Jesus Christ said he is the way, the truth, the life. No one cometh unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, except or by way of Jesus Christ, people. In 1 Peter, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, look at this great verse tonight regarding the heart of a weight core athlete. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 3. Listen. Verse 18. For Christ also hath once what? Suffered for sins. The just for the what? Unjust. That he might bring us to whom? God. Might bring us to God, people. Bring us to God. Not to a denomination, not to a creed, not to a sacrament, but bring us to whom? In Ephesians chapter 3, listen to verse 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. According to the eternal what? That he might bring us to God according to the eternal purpose which he, God, purposed in whom? Christ Jesus, our Lord. Verse 12. Our Lord, in whom we have. You don't have to pray about it. If you're a Christian, born again, you've got it. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the believing or by the faith of him. In 2 Thessalonians, a few books back, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, listen to this. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from the evil one. The Lord is faithful. He'll establish you. Not the government or anything else. It's the Lord who's going to establish you. And he's going to keep you from the evil one. And we, verse 4, have confidence in who? The Lord. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, about you. And that's how I feel about you tonight.